Director Maria Montanaro, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here, Kristen.
You had barely hung your name on the door of your new office back in February when reports surfaced about the possible abuse and maltreatment of several patients at Eleanor Slater Hospital. And I'm wondering, what have you learned since then about what happened to these patients or the status of that investigation?
Yes, Kristen, I had barely hung my name on the door. Literally 2 hours after I began working, I received a report that investigators were at the hospital conducting a multiple-day survey. So the investigation by the state police is an ongoing investigation. I can't really say whether or not the allegations of abuse were substantiated, but I can tell you that what concerns me the most is the way in which the management at Eleanor Slater Hospital and the leadership of the department at the time handled the reporting of the incident and their own investigation of the incident. That whole process was so lacking that I became quite disturbed about the level of competency in the management of the hospital, and that led me to do our own study of the hospital and our own investigation of the incident to really determine whether or not our hospital had taken the appropriate actions to thoroughly investigate the complaints that were made, but also really to look at the systems of care at the hospital and the systems of oversight at the hospital to see whether or not they were sufficient, and they were not.
Those allegations, as it turns out, were really just the tip of the iceberg you found at Eleanor Slater. You told a House Finance Committee back in May that there were myriad management and financial problems at the hospital. And I wonder if you could just describe some of those problems and how you uncovered them.
Certainly. And I would like to start by saying that we have a lot of dedicated staff at the hospital who do an excellent job caring for our patients each and every day. And in my view, they deserve better support, as do our patients, from the highest levels of management of the hospital, which I think is considerably lacking. We're missing key managerial positions that are essential to any well-run hospital. Those positions simply aren't filled or don't exist. And the positions we have are filled with people who are very hardworking, well-meaning, and have years of experience within our system, but don't necessarily have all of the skills and expertise that's needed. There are a number of systemic issues for the hospital that really inhibit its well-run and efficient operation, not the least of which is a lack of any kind of meaningful information technology.
Behavioral Health Agency Director Maria Montanaro, this consulting group came in and helped outline some of the problems, and it turns out the facility is spending a lot on overtime. You've got some union contracts that make scheduling a little challenging sometimes.
Right. There are some rather inflexible rules in our own state human resources system that prohibit managers at the hospital from hiring part-time and weekend staff to cover shifts. And as a result, we have a heavy dependence on overtime. So that's one issue. Another issue is the way in which the collective bargaining agreements arrange for overtime provisions. So the most senior people in the system are the first people who can accept overtime shifts. And as a result, we do have, in fact, nurses in our system that are making double their base salary, in excess of $200,000 a year. And much of this is driven by their overtime pay. That is not a particularly efficient way for us to be running the hospital, nor is it good, I think, for some staff to work those kinds of hours on a regular basis.
Maria Montanaro, how do you begin to address some of the many problems you've uncovered? You've established a turnaround plan. Do I have that right?
We have established the outline of the initial actions we need to take to turn around the hospital. In fact, we are going to have to engage all of our stakeholders in this process, particularly the staff and the management of the hospital, working with the management changes that we make and the new managers that come into the system. And they are going to develop the details of how the hospital will aggressively but also measuredly approach the changes that are needed over the next, I would say, 3 years to really bring the hospital into its most efficient and effective state. Mm-hmm. So what I have been able to do is work with the governor's office to provide a meaningful roadmap for reform for the hospital.
Can you give us the broad brush of some of the elements that might be in that plan or the roadmap?
So I think we first and foremost need to have qualified management. So the immediate plan for that is to bring in management consultants who can advise and direct us so that we don't have to wait to start to make the improvements that are really vitally needed at the hospital, which we would expect will take 6 months and take us through the end of April before those positions are successfully filled with qualified candidates. The next step is for us to really look at the immediate areas where we could affect some cost efficiencies. The third thing is that we need to look at the facility development plan for the hospital. I am particularly concerned about two of our facilities. One is our forensic facility, which is Pinnell. They're patients that have interacted with the judicial system, either receiving from us pretrial services, competency assessments, or they are receiving services from us because they were found incompetent to stand trial and in need of mental health treatment, or they have been moved into our system because their mental health issues are too severe for the prison system to manage effectively. So we have capacity at that small forensic unit to care for 20 individuals. And in fact, right now on our forensic service, we have 41. So we don't overcrowd them into the Pinnell building, but we intermingle forensic patients in Adolf Meyer, which is the other building of major concern for us, which is the psych hospital building. And that is not a good recipe for safety or security of either the staff or the patients. That situation has been going on for many years and is not likely to change without us really taking a focused and logical approach to how we're going to address the facility needs of the patient population going forward. The buildings are not conducive to therapeutic intervention. You're talking about long hallways in very dated buildings, security issues within those buildings. The environment itself is depressing, frankly. Yeah. Small rooms, very little natural light coming through those buildings. Those buildings really probably cannot be rehabilitated effectively enough to support the kind of treatment we need to be able to provide to the population that's in those buildings.
Behavioral Health Agency Director Maria Montanaro, is it clear to you yet how patients may have suffered because of some of these deficiencies?
Well, I think our patients are suffering every day if they're living in conditions that really aren't conducive to therapeutic care. With that said, I think that very caring staff who also have to work in that environment fill those gaps nicely on a daily basis. So our patients are seriously ill. Some of them are with us a short term. Others are with us for a very long term. For some, that may be for the rest of their natural lives. And we can do a better job creating environments that are conducive to their overall well-being.
Maria Montanaro leads the Department of Behavioral Health, Developmental Disabilities, and Hospitals. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much, Kristen.
I'm Kristen Gourlay, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.